Okay, we're here with Carolyn Kendall Betts, the lead owner of MLS for the Lou. Sorry, I almost went to the old one. You know, Carolyn, we know that you came out to a St. Louis FC game this year, and you've been touring around some of the MLS stadiums and seeing some of the ownership groups. I've heard you now describe yourself as a big soccer fan. Is that true?
It is. I actually have really enjoyed learning about the sport. Certainly there was a lot to learn, but I find it very intriguing that it's an international sport. Certainly the different leagues I'm learning. But I think what really at the end of the day has been really exciting is just to understand the system that we have here in St. Louis. And it, you know, hear that players, you know, born and bred here are playing in Germany or they're playing in Europe. And so I think learning the sport's been certainly fun, but I think just the reach of the sport has been awesome.
And a lot of people talk about the history of St. Louis, and you're kind of getting a chance to create the new history, that there's a lot of boys, girls, everybody that are, you know, young that haven't had that locally to go for. I mean, obviously we have St. Louis FC, but to be on the international stage once you hit MLS kind of changes everything.
Absolutely. One of the things that we've talked a lot about, you know, the last couple weeks is just the incredible talent that we have here in St. Louis, and we need to find a way to retain it, and that's in every sense of the word, whether it's business, citizens, but certainly athletes. And to be able to have that MLS professional team as an option for the talent we have in the soccer world would be absolutely, I mean, the perfect situation.
And you mentioned it briefly, not only for the people who play soccer, but people living in St. Louis, giving them something to do. And I know we've got a lot of tech, you know, building out here in St. Louis. These younger people are increasingly going to soccer over other traditional sports. And I think that, you know, you fill a hole there to the young people moving into St. Louis.
Oh, correct. One of the things that we're learning, I say we, me for sure, is the fan base. While it's very broad, there is a core concentration of millennials, but those are the ones that are moving their tech business here or they're staying after they graduate from college. And to be able to offer something that resonates with them, but also look at all the international companies that are, you know, they've got their eye on St. Louis.
And Enterprise, maybe, worldwide technologies, those
kind of places. Yeah, exactly. But even small startups, I mean, the opportunity to get those international businesses to St. Louis, I think would be much greater if we had an MLS team that represents an international sport.
We joke about Enterprise and Worldwide, though, but that, I mean, it's such a community-based company that you can't go anywhere in this town without seeing one of those two logos, you know, a charity race on a hockey arena, whatever the case may be.
Whatever you go to, if there's a program, flip to the sponsors page. Enterprise and Worldwide Technology are almost always there.
Right.
So not only are you giving back in that way, but I think another one of the, you know, false narratives that's kind of going around is, you know, soccer's just for rich young white kids. It's really not. It's the most culturally and ethnically diverse sports around. So it's giving a voice to other communities that maybe don't feel it with baseball or basketball or other sports.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I think one of the things that we've really tried to, you know, as we formulate our plan going forward, is to make sure that we're inclusive to all communities. Because you're correct. Anybody can play soccer. And so making sure that we have that community, all-inclusive feel is extremely important.
My 9-year-old daughter, when she heard that a female was going to own the team, was over the moon. You know, and I think in today's generation, having that majority female ownership is monstrous. Have you found that the rest of the world is taking note?
Oh, for sure. I actually did an interview with Forbes that circled really primarily around female ownership in sports, because you don't see a lot of majority sports teams that are female-owned.
None. I can't think of one.
I misquote this, but I think there's a couple.
The Lakers.
NBA.
The Lakers, yeah. Jeannie Buss,
I think
that's right.
The Oakland Raiders had some female ownership in it as well. But I think what we are really excited about as a family is we can be role models. And quite frankly, if you look at the diversity of especially my generation, we're all little entrepreneurs in our own way. And so we want to make sure that we support other women, not only any kind of advice we could give, but also to say, listen, you can do this.
Well, and I think part of it to me that was exciting when I'm learning about the new ownership group, I mean, we've known Jim for years, but having the Taylors involved, we've obviously in St. Louis know the Taylor family and what you guys have done, but the fact, it's not that it's a primarily women ownership group. It's that it just happened. It wasn't contrived. It was like, no, these are just, you know, nine really wealthy people who want to give back to their community, and they just so happen to be women.
Yes.
It wasn't a marketing stunt. It just is.
Well, and it's funny because I'm so used to it. It's my family,
yeah,
you know,
right.
So we joke around that we feel bad for Uncle Andy because, you know, he does get overruled
right.
sometimes with all the ladies. And so as we
good.
Sit there and
good, talk, that needs to happen
right,
more
exactly.
often.
He would probably tell you differently, but no, but when we really got into this endeavor because it's great for the city. And so then as we started to sort of work through sort of ownership, somebody said, you realize that Andy and Jim currently are the only two males and there's seven other females, right. And all of a sudden we all went, oh my God, I guess that's right.
That's good.
But it's good.
And it is, but that's the way the country's going. It should be that way. We should see this happen. This is.
It shouldn't be an anomaly. It should be 50% of the time.
Right, right. So, you know, it's fans of the game were even more excited because it is, this is our culture here. It's St. Louis. It's local ownership. It's diverse in that male-female ratio. This is who this city is, and I can't think of a better representation than these two families.
Well, and I think one key piece, if I may, is the family piece. My family has really enjoyed doing this together. This is the first time we've really, I would say collectively, have had this much excitement. We love all the projects we do, but this is something very unique, and so we have enjoyed it, and I can't say enough about how important my family's been supportive of me, but as well as Jim and his family and vice versa.
I think, and this will be the last thing because we know you've got other things to do today, but I wrote an article for the St. Lulligan's website last week, and one of my points was, you know, those of us who are a little older, we grew up with the Bush family being such a big part of St. Louis, and just like the Taylors and just like the Kavanaughs, not only do they employ a lot of people in the city, not only do they headquarter their business in the city, did all the philanthropic things that you guys do, but part of the Cardinals was a part of what they did, and it brought a lot of people together. And I think, I mean, thinking about the legacy of your family, I mean, is that something that excites you, that maybe this is a step that the Taylors and the Kavanaughs can do to be one of those core pillars of St. Louis?
It absolutely. It is funny to think about, you know, that, oh my gosh, we did this.
Yeah.
I mean, and to your point, I mean, generations to come, we have a fourth generation young, but, you know, they could be sitting at that stadium watching the team that the older generation, along with Jim and his family, brought to St. Louis. So it's a little daunting at times, but it's also very exciting, and sort of, I think those are the things that keep me motivated to keep doing this. Because you're right, it is sort of a legacy piece. And again, a point I hadn't really thought of and put the connection together until you just said that, but I think you're spot on.
One last thing. I know, hey, Brad said, but we always talk over each other. That's what we do. The stadium. You know, everybody's excited about the concept of a stadium. You've made these tours to these other four, and you've seen some unbelievable stadiums because they really are the top of the MLS tier. As you're planning this, you know, when you're putting it on that property and the ideas, are you looking to do something different, unique, or are you looking to do what's right? I mean, because there's so many things like safe standing for the supporters groups. Jim mentioned during your guys' interview the idea of conference rooms and stuff like that. Is this going to be something unique, or are you going to stick kind of traditional?
I think what we're going to do is certainly, one, entertain all ideas. Certainly feedback from the region is important. But my goal would be throughout the stadium design is to make sure that we have something that is uniquely St. Louis. And so these visits have allowed us to get a lot of ideas. I joke around, we're putting it into a funnel. And then we're going to try to get the right team to make sure that we build a stadium that is the perfect stadium for St. Louis. So I don't have any preconceived notion of what it's going to look like. I just know in my mind what I think is important, and I believe that the ownership group agrees with me. And so that's the core. That's the focus right there, is we need to make it very uniquely St. Louis.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn.
Thanks. Thank you guys for coming so much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
So that was Carolyn Kindle. I can never say her
yes.
name right. Carolyn Kindle Betts.
Yes.
You're not just on first name terms with her now?
Yeah. You know, we're like that. You yeah. know, that whole 8 minutes that I got to talk to her today. You know, we're going over to their house for Thanksgiving. And, you know, Yeah, no, no. So
no, it was nice that.
Well, are you a butler now?
We did. For those that don't know, there was just a little bit of an event at the Amsterdam today. We were basically hired extras to sit in the background of the.
They actually stopped at one point because we were talking too much.
Yeah, they told us to shut up. But it'll be on by the time you listen to this. It will have been on Channel 4, I think, tonight. There'll be a video, but there's also an excellent podcast. If you're going to listen to one podcast, don't make it this one. Make it.
I was going to say it's the second best.
No, ours is the second best today because the Dan McLaughlin, the Danny Mac, Scoops with Danny Mac is what it's called. Jim and Carolyn were on there, and they did a great job sort of explaining sort of the funding and some of the ins and outs and the state of where the MLS bid is right now. But huge thanks to Carolyn for giving us just, you know, you heard it, the few minutes there to, just talk to us a little bit.
And... Oh, wait, we didn't do an intro. Welcome to another episode of This is Silly with the Lugans. This is Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Smug holiday bastard, Matt Bird.
Home now. I'm just, you know, on a downer now.
And this podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Zune.
Yes. If you're going to listen to this podcast, you should do it on a Zune.
But we
kind of crashed into the start with our interview with Carolyn.
Yeah, that's all right. I started to explain who she was, and I was going to lead right into it. And
gotcha.
You just trampled over me like you do my emotions.
As always, I should just shut my mouth. But it was nice that they gave us a few minutes to talk to the fans, and she actually recorded a little thank you video that's on our Instagram feed right now. Very, very cool person. This is the second time I've met her.
First time I've met her.
We are best friends now.
You know, it's not too often that you see the big stars talking to the extras.
That's,
you know,
right.
Usually you're told to get away from craft services.
She was talent, and I was just an extra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're definitely not getting our SAG cards out of this one.
No, but it was nice. And again, no, this wasn't a big event. This was literally, they said we had 8 spots. We filled those 8 spots. But there are going to be events coming up where they're going to want more people there. And for those, we will definitely be posting on the public page and where you can go and where you can be to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's the best way of saying it. This is kind of the kickoff to our involvement in MLS for the Lou. Jim and Tom always keep us in mind, but this is really where it gets us involved. And the one thing that, if you listen to that podcast, if you watch the interview, if you've paid any sort of attention, the one thing that is very transparent, they're doing this much differently than last time in terms of controlling the narrative and putting the right information out there first before other people.
I think so. And also the timelines really accelerated this time around.
Much faster.
They're looking at next Wednesday, is it, where the Board of Aldermen meeting, they're going to do some public comments. You will be invited to go there if you want and have your say on these tax issues that they're raising, but
and then the MLS meeting
meets
is
in December. Yeah,
yeah. So there is definitely a bang bang aspect to this.
So basically, I mean, if they can get the land taken care of and they can get the tax assurances from the Board of Aldermen, which again, much much different than last time around, much less of a public involvement.
Actually, there's really not much public involvement.
Well, there's no money coming from the city to the owners.
Right.
They're going to defer a couple of tax things, like on building materials and things like that. But that's really all they're asking for. So the team...
And the sales, there is a use tax on tickets and concessions that are bought in the stadium,
right,
which Jim said during this interview, and I think on the pod as well, that money goes into an escrow account for future repairs and maintenance.
Right. So that's the other big issue that
people were worried about that hadn't really been clearly defined yet.
And especially on the heels of what happened with the Enterprise Center recently, you know, needing some upgrades. It looks like they've addressed most of the issues. And
I think that they covered, between these two interviews, I think you're going to hear, they've covered pretty much every open ask. The only question, and maybe you caught it and I just missed it, did they say who would get revenue from concerts and stuff like that?
No, they didn't. But the city is going to own the stadium, but the team is paying for the land, and they're also paying for the construction of the stadium. So
And the other thing, too, actually, I want to give Lydia Crewson a big shout-out. She had a really good interview on KMOX the other day, and she made a great comment about it, that there haven't been property taxes paid on that property since 1965.
Yeah, so I mean, people talk about us missing out on that money. Well, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
If it hasn't been paid since 65, I mean, that's older than me. Well,
and there hasn't been
you.
A big claim. Yeah, it's not as old as me. There hasn't been a big clamor to buy that property.
Right.
It's just sitting there vacant.
I think the exact term they used today was blighted, because yeah. It's unmanaged property that's untouched. So it's rocks and garbage and just general neglect on that property. So wouldn't getting revenue from this building be better than nothing? Because that's what you got.
I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it, but, you know.
You're putting nothing into it. You're getting,
and if you don't go to games, you won't be paying any extra taxes.
Right.
So I just keep going back to it. The city just needs to start building stuff. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is at this point. I mean, you drive through Indianapolis, you drive through Columbus, you drive through Nashville, you drive through Minneapolis, you drive through Kansas City, and there's cranes everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in St. Louis right now. I mean, there's a bit of building going on around SLU, but it's few and far between, and we need to start playing catch up. And whether it's a Stalker Stadium or an aquarium or a natural history museum or whatever, we need to start
building,
you know, building stuff.
I think, you know, she made the good point that, you know, we've got a lot of young professionals. There are startups, you know, with St. Louis is listed as one of the most startup friendly cities as far as, you know, bringing your new tech company online. And those younger people want to go have not just soccer, but
amenities.
Things to do.
Amenities.
I actually, after she said that, I came home and I read something. So the AT&T building downtown, I didn't know this, and I'm a tech person, that is actually a major switching hub for the U.S. internet.
Okay.
And so when you're looking cross-country internet stuff, a lot of those lines go through downtown St. Louis. So when you get these tech companies that need to have that fast connection, Downtown is where you want to be, because all you have to do is, if there's not a line, lay a new line under, you know, through the, I don't want to say through the sewers, but, you know, basically through the underground, and you're on. So, yeah, it is a big, and I know there's a lot of tech startup companies down there.
And they're not hiring old guys like me.
No.
They're hiring kids.
No, I had to go to Salt Lake City to get a new job.
There you go.
But, I mean, it is. It really is. She's absolutely right. And, you know, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah. Some of the other fun things that they talked about were, there will be a new stadium rendering. It's not the design that has been used in these picture in these articles. The design from the previous one, they're going to do something new. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the prospect of a safe standing area in the supporters section.
It was brought up several times in the conversations today.
But yeah, I mean, all fun stuff, and stuff's going to be happening really fast now. They're expecting a visit from Don Garber sometime in December, probably after that MLS expansion meeting.
Can we meet him off a private plane?
Yeah.
Get a couple of them fat heads from Sacramento in.
I don't think I'm going to go to this one because, you know, I went to that big event today, so
yeah.
It would be unfair if I went to another big one.
Well, we've already met him. Meet him twice.
That's right.
First name too.
We don't need him on the podcast this time.
We've already covered it all.
We'll just replay that old one. I don't know.
We'll just substitute anything out with Edgerly. We'll just have somebody going,
the Taylors,
Carolyn Becks.
But that's really all the MLS for the Lou news I have. The hats and scarves are on sale, so if you want to buy that, please do.
There was a conversation made during the interview with Dan that I heard where they said they are selling like crazy.
Yeah.
So if you want one, you probably want to order one quickly, because I think they're having to replenish their original stock. So.
And they made the point several times, the thing that you can do right now, other than buy season tickets for St. Louis FC, the other big thing you can do is just keep sharing things on social media. Use that hashtag MLS for the Lou, because the MLS does look at those, you know, numbers when they come in. They're looking to see how excited people in St. Louis are about
that. Reminds me, I got to yell at Tony Flores. He has is his name.
Yeah.
Is hashtag MLS for the Lou.
Right.
And anytime he likes something, I think, oh, the official account. No, that was Tony.
It's just Tony. So I don't know. That's all you know, we know Matt's not super jazzed about MLS, but we do get all the things that come along with that.
But from a civics point of view, yeah. I was on that Orange County podcast before our playoff game, and they asked me if I was jazzed for it. They asked me what I thought, and I said, look, I'm happy, super happy with USL. Don't get me wrong, I like where we are. But from a civics point of view, St. Louis needs this. We had a great time when the U.S. Women's National Team played New Zealand here. We had a great time when the St. Vincent's game was here. We need more of that.
And I think St. Louis does become a regular stop if we have that size stadium.
Oh, Without a doubt. For sure. I mean, I have to imagine that Cincinnati will be on the rotation. And, you know,
Nashville, they already are. But
I mean, the central spots... You know, it's pretty handy for a lot of people in this nation to get here.
Yeah. And if it's a brand new stadium that's state of the art, it's even better.
It's attractive. Yeah. It looks good on TV.
And you know, it's not just U.S. men's on women's. It's the youth team games.
Yeah.
It's the Olympic qualifying games. And the Women's World Cup qualifying takes place in the U.S. And we could be watching Panama versus Haiti and things like that. Games you would never imagine being able to go see otherwise can start being here in St. Louis. And I want us to embrace that.
And the occasional exhibition game between other clubs mm-hmm. or other countries too.
But as I said, and I said this to Jim Cavanaugh when he phoned in a couple of weeks ago, it's not about me anymore. I'm set in my ways. It's about my six-year-old.
Yeah.
I watch him walk into Sporting KC and his mouth's agape. And I want him to have that here.
Yeah.
I want him to have a stadium here where he can walk into and not just be blown away by it, but know he can come every single week. And it's not about me anymore, man. It's about Dakota. It's about Drake, it's about you, and it's about all these kids. It's Mark's got three boys.
Three boys.
He's got like 200 kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about me. It's about them. And it's a legacy for the kids. Think of the children.
I'm with you. Let's move on. Let's talk about a few more things. We don't have a lot. I want to mention our St. Luligans and American Outlaws holiday party. Is going to be December 16th at 1 p.m. That's a Sunday afternoon. We're going to do a little day drinking. It's at the Schlafly Tap Room. It's the upstairs private room. It's where we had our AGM 2 years ago, I guess it was. That's open to everybody. You don't have to be a Luligan or be an American Outlaw. You can just come and have some fun with us. And then also December 8th, if you're a season ticket holder for St. Louis FC, December 8th, there's going to be the MLS Cup watch party. That's here in Fenton at the new Post Bar and Grill. So just another partner for St. Louis FC to work with. So we're excited to go check that out on December 8th. In the world of news and notes, things that we have maybe need to cover since our last podcast, there was a USL Cup final, guys.
Yeah.
there was no meteor.
Louisville is back-to-back USL champions. I think they deserved it on the night.
They were really good.
It was a good game, actually. It was a good open game, I thought. Could have gone either way. Louisville played well. Phoenix have had a great season.
Yeah.
As I said to Sean when he was sat next to me, and I wasn't saying it to blow smoke, but the year before when Louisville won it, I was bitter and twisted and spiteful and didn't want anything good to happen to anyone else. And this year we had a good year, so I was like, I was okay with where we are. I was at peace with our season, and you know, the chips felt, I felt like, well, where the chips fall, where they may, and Louisville won it, and good for them.
Yep.
Good for that, and good for Phoenix. They had a good year, man. And I was pleased I was pleased to see Phoenix move away from being a circus and just concentrating on football and signing good footballers for their team, and they were rewarded with it, and they had a really good season. And I do think, despite the fact that Orange County won the West, Phoenix were the best team on the day in our division.
Yeah,
and it was a good game, and for those people that say that the East is far and away the best conference, the last two finals have only been 1-0.
Yeah.
There was only one blowout in the last 4 years. I think that was when Swope Park got beat by the Red Bull. What was it, 5-1?
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah.
And Rochester only beat LA Galaxy 2-1 4 years ago. I mean, they've been pretty close games for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it. It's starting to look like we'll be heading back to the East next year.
Before we get to that, though.
Sure.
As I had talked about on the last episode.
Oh, that's right. Is this going to be our contest?
This is going to be our contest. So I realized that we didn't put anything out today, so I've got a way to figure this out here.
Okay.
So I got my clicker. I watched the game on replay.
How many times?
Well,
that's what we're doing. In the pregame alone, 6 times.
Okay.
And I counted when they would either, you know, Drogba, the king, when they wouldn't name him by name.
Or Didier.
If they kept talking about him for a minute or two, that only counted as one. Mm-hmm. And then during the game, or even during the pregame, if they left the camera on him and they weren't actually talking about him, that counted as a click.
Okay.
Pregame was 6. The first half alone, 36 times.
Jesus.
That's almost once a minute.
Yeah, yeah. It was. At one point, it was once a minute. And really, thank God that Louisville really dominated the second half because they couldn't talk about him at that point in time. They only talked about him twice at halftime. And then once it got going, they barely mentioned him for the second half. Even when he got a yellow, they only said his name once because they were too busy talking about how good Louisville was. So our final total was 76 times from the kickoff to the point of the first interview after the game was over with the goalkeeper for Louisville. That's where I stopped because I'm like, I'm not going to sit and keep going. 76 times.
It's pretty impressive.
It's amazing.
That's wild.
Yeah. So at the end, I'm going to ask a question about that. So we'll come back to that at the end of the show.
I will say this about the final, though. Phoenix could have won the game if they could keep the shots under the bar, 15 feet and higher. I mean, it was tragic.
Jesus, the midget that they have, what's his name?
I know who you're talking about.
He's five. They kept saying he was 5'2" over and over again. I can't remember his name. The Ghana
kid, kid that gave us problems up top. Yeah.
Oh my God, he was ridiculous. He was coming back. And that was the thing. There was a few times where I saw him coming all the way back to his own box, carrying the ball out. Phoenix is good. They were really, really good.
And for me, they also scored the best goal of the year with Cortez's scissor kick. They're a good team. And, you know, no joke, they beat us on aggregate, 5-1 over two games? I mean, they're a quality team.
If Drogba would have scored on that bicycle kick in the second half.
Oh, Mike Walsh would have come in his pants.
And with that, we'll move on. want to give a big shout out to St. Louis Maritza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for them.
They won their third round of qualifying for the Open Cup.
PKs.
DeSoto. Detroit. Or it was in Michigan. I don't think it's in Detroit.
It's a suburb. It's Livonia, Michigan. It's about 15 miles west.
Okay.
So, that's too far to drive.
But they will be having, they will be moving on to the fourth round of qualifying. I don't know for sure when that is or if they've even drawn that
yet. I don't
think
they have drawn it yet.
Hey, just more St. Louis soccer.
I hope they get home game. Come on.
That'd be fun.
Parkway North. Is that?
Yeah, that's where
that'd
play.
Be a great place to go up. And so how great would it be if we had a St. Louis US Open Cup game?
It'd be amazing. It really would be amazing.
So congrats, guys. I know a couple of the players listened to the show, and I promised you I would talk about you, and I've done a little bit, but
I know I'll say this, and I'm speaking as one of the people involved here that keeps saying, I need to get to a game, but, you know, life happens. You do the soccer all through the summer with the FC and, you know, kids, and this is your off-season and stuff, but I need to get out to a game there, but believe me, I'm following what you do. I'm supporting you through this. Go get them. We're proud of you. Keep going, guys.
Other news around the league. Bethlehem officially announcing that they will be leaving Lehigh Valley. They're going to keep playing, but they're going to be playing at the Philadelphia Union Stadium in Chester. Evidently. evidently Lehigh Valley, they didn't have lights. You know, they were always playing the afternoon games, and USL said, that's enough. You can't do that anymore. And they couldn't find a suitable stadium close, so they're still going to be Bethlehem Steel.
They should have to give up the name.
They're going
to
be playing in Chester. Feel sorry for the fans, obviously, because, I mean, it's not an easy commute from where they are now to Chester. Sorry for the Riverhounds. The Riverhounds have lost all their rivals that were close. They've lost Cincinnati, Bethlehem, and now Rochester last year, and Harrisburg. You know, and it's the life of a two team. I think it's.
But that's just it. I mean, you guys argue for the hybrid models, and here's the downside of the hybrid model. At any moment, the mothership could turn around.
No,
and say,
Bethlehem's not a hybrid.
No, they were straight two.
Bethlehem's a straight two. They just changed the name.
Yeah,
but they were a hybrid in the fact that they'd moved to another market.
Yeah.
They weren't a traditional straight.
But
they didn't have separate owners.
I do accept that it weren't like
I think if
RGV.
They'd have had their own owners, they'd have made a more concerted effort to find a local place to play.
They were a 2.5.
As the MLS team just said, ah, screw it, it's not worth it, just come play here.
Yeah. It's,
so.
That's sad. I mean, even if they got 100 fans, and I know they got more than that, there's still 100 fans that have just lost their team, and that sucks.
I still think we're a couple years away from this all settling out. You know, a few teams moved down to USL 1 this year.
And I think once that starts people are going to figure it out.
There's going to be teams that are in USL Championship with us, MLS 2 teams, that look at that and say, let's see how that goes for the first year. Maybe we'll drop down to there.
But there could be teams like, I don't know, let's pick a team, Lansing, for example.
Yeah.
Let's say Lansing go lights out and get 5,000 fans for every game. They could turn around and say, you know what, guys?
Yeah, no, I think that's...
You know, we could go up.
And that is one of the reasons I really like the way the USL is doing this, to make it easy for teams to go up or down, depending on their needs. Let's talk about Lansing just for a moment.
Go on.
The branding is off the charts. I love it. Forward Madison FC. Oh, no, you're talking about... I'm talking about Madison.
Yes.
Forward Madison FC... The pink flamingo, the explainer they put out for their crest was hilarious.
I've been out of the loop for 10 days, but I did see that
because
I was checking Twitter like at 2 in the morning going, what on earth is this nonsense?
I think it's funny. You don't know, back in whatever, you know,
like the early
60s, 70s,
or 70s or something like that,
a bunch of college kids
played a prank.
Did the flamingo thing. And we've all seen, you know, you've gone by somebody's house these days that's been flamingoed. But this was the first time it had done it. They'd put, you know, hundreds of pink flamingos on the lawn at the college.
Yeah.
The city of Madison ended up making the pink flamingo their city bird, you know, as a lark. And the team embraced that. And they're going with it.
They were saying that the mayor, when he was doing his campaign, had a flamingo instead of the American flag pin. Had a flamingo pin.
So I love it. It's tied in with the city.
It's an inside joke, but it's not.
But everybody in the city gets it. I loved their little explanation.
Oh my God, the explanation
of why it
was
FC.
Studied abroad once.
Yeah. I mean, that was funny. They're taking a piss of all the serious explanations that are done on Crest, which
my favorite
love.
Was the, I have to ask the designer what these mean.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
just little...
As far as branding goes, I think they nailed it. I think
by far and away
knocked it out of the park.
I seriously hope that one of their kits is pink.
Well, and also I do like a pink team. I like, you know, I
Palermo
like
Palermo or whoever it was.
Palermo, but I mean, I like clubs that have a different kit. There's so many red and blue kits out there. So when you do have the purple team in the league, or the yellow team in the league, or the orange team, you know, pink is, you don't see that every day. So I really like that.
It's fantastic. I literally want them to do well. Just
you know
because
what,
of that.
Soccer should be fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
And make it fun.
So. Just not with llamas.
Well, I mean, Vegas is doing their own thing.
You know, but I can get with the llamas if the product on the field was better.
Right, like the neon sign of their logo. Perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
When the logo came out, I was totally jazzed for it because they, again. It's the town. They got it. The hiring Chalice.
Maybe not so good.
Maybe not so much.
Just before we came on, actually, I saw a tweet. Jonathan Barton officially saying goodbye to St. Louis.
It's a shame.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. We never got to see the best of him because he was injured for so long this year.
When we had him in, we were a better team.
And when we had him on the podcast, he was a great guy.
Yeah, he's a top guy. I'll miss him. I wish I'd have seen more of him.
Yeah, wish him the best. I'm sure a guy like that will have no trouble finding a club.
No.
And as we always say, just please don't come back to hurt us. And then I did want to mention, it has been, well, I don't think it's officially been announced, but Nippon and Sock Takes confirming that there will indeed be two conferences next year. We kind of went through the layout last podcast.
I don't think it was conducive yet to do a central.
I really think they could have done it, but for whatever reason they didn't. But it looks more than likely that we'll be headed east.
I do think that they're just waiting for the dust to settle from all the expansion and the league.
I don't think they could have gone to three and then back to two.
Yeah, right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
That's what it.
I think it's better to stay two just to see what happens with the defection of the MLS2 teams.
It's disappointing after Edward said it's almost a guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one, you know. You hate seeing somebody make promises they can't keep, but obviously it's the math of it.
But of it all, I'd rather be in the East.
Correct.
We get back to our road trips that are doable.
We've got Indy, we got Louisville, we got Nashville.
Memphis. It's looking like Kansas City may even come east with us. Not
Birmingham, Alabama's not far, right? I mean, what is it, 6-7 hours?
I think it's more than that, but...
So, I mean, some good road trips to do, and more importantly, for old people like me, those West Coast watch parties were killers when the game didn't start till 9 or 10.
I tell you, man,
you know.
9 o'clock at night was the only quiet time in my house.
So, that's the way it looks. Again, not official, but we're going to go ahead and call it official. We'll be moving to the East.
My dad is flying over in May. And he's taking a cruise up the Mississippi from New Orleans to Memphis.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty
cool.
And
I'm meeting him in Memphis in the middle of May. So if we want to do an away trip in Memphis around that time, Jake Edwards, if you're listening,
yeah,
get on that, son.
Birmingham, 7.5 hours, by the way.
Still doable for a weekend.
That was Tulsa.
But I'm thinking about this renting a riverboat. Paddle boat for the road trip.
You know, it's not like Arsenal fans renting a boat to right. Fulham. It's a bit further yeah. than that.
Just have a steamboat pull up.
Hey, hey Fred. I'll start checking eBay, see what we can get for a used paddle boat.
Where's the McDonald's riverboat?
Yeah,
you know, you can get a kayak at Dick's for
$300. He'll buy us one of those pedal boats.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Here you dumb shits go. You guys pedal your
it's
ass
an inflatable
down there.
Raft. He didn't get us a pump.
I think that's fair. You know, we'll do it. We'll do a video for the pod and make it all worthwhile. That's really all the news I have. We did do a poll this week, and I want to share that the results of that with all the MLS to St. Louis, or sorry, MLS for the Lou stuff happening. I did a poll, and do you think we'll get MLS Team 28? 64% of our respondents are very positive, and they say yes. 6% said no, another city will get it. 27% said no, the Board of Aldermen of St. Louis will fuck this up. And 3% said they just don't care. So overall, we've got a positive fan base this week. 64% think we'll be headed to the MLS.
I do think, and you guys hit on it in the interview, that female ownership group is a PR dream.
Yeah.
For MLS, not for the ownership group, for the MLS. They will lap that up.
And I do, I don't know, you know, we covered it a little bit, but I know she's talked about it in other interviews. Carolyn and her cousins and sisters are taking this seriously. They're embracing this idea of being a role model, not only to young women who obviously need to see powerful women succeeding, but also to young men who need to see,
correct,
hey, when
absolutely.
I grow up, I'm going to have to work for powerful
yeah,
women because that's the way the world is.
Absolutely.
So I think they're embracing this role as role models.
I'm so happy to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am. You know, you see enough, you know, the old white men in power. It's yep. It's time for a change. And that's, you know, and again, like I said during the interview, that's the way the world is compromised. It's not 95% men.
Yeah.
You know, there's more people out there, and soccer is culturally diverse. There's no reason it can't be.
Yeah, I think that's a big bonus for MLS. that and St. Louis is cool.
Its fans are.
Its fans are, yeah. Some of them.
I don't know about the city, but I digress.
Yeah. And, you know, as always, there's people on Twitter that will complain about it, you know.
That's Twitter.
Well, that's Twitter in general. You're right. But I don't think the people complaining about it are really understanding the whole thing.
Well, I think the problem is
you hear $30 million from the state. But what that means is they're going to spend that money getting that land ready, changing the exits and stuff, because they're going to have to do that anyway, mm-hmm. no matter what happens. So it's not like they're giving millionaires $30 million. They're just prepping that land for whatever.
And I do think that's part of the problem is the governor. Once he said welfare for millionaires, I think that was tainted so bad in people's minds and on both sides of the political spectrum.
Well,
so,
and,
you know,
yeah. And again, people wanted to be on the right side of that
argument. Right.
So nobody wanted to be seen as giving welfare to millionaires, even if you really thought it was a good idea. This time around, totally different. The governor is on board. Mayor Lyda Carusin's on board.
A lot of the aldermen are. A majority
of
them
Lewis
Reed,
are. The president's on board. I mean, I think it's going to be a much smoother sail this time. And
even somebody like Ogilvie last time who was against it is for it now.
It's a better deal for the
city.
So, I mean, even though we were for it last time I admitted there were some complications and there were reasons not to be for it. This time, there's hard for me to find legitimate objections to this one.
And I think the thing is that most of the objections that are legitimate have been addressed when conversations like today are broadcast. Yeah. You'll see, hey, this is what we're doing. Like the whole idea of the use tax going to the escrow account.
Right.
As soon as I heard that, is it going to cover everything? Probably not, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But if you do it right, you don't have to worry about those things.
Well, and I mean, again,
you don't wait until you need a $30 million thing like Scott Trade or Enterprise Center. Needed.
And I think some of these Board of Aldermen just want to hear them say, no, we will pay for upgrades and maintenance because...
Well, I think some of the aldermen just want to hear themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that,
there's
too.
There's some serious grandstanding.
There's a lot of that.
You know, if you're running against other people for the president of the board, you've got to be against whatever they're for.
Yep.
So,
and especially if you have problems with Enterprise.
If you've wrecked your rental car and think you're being, you know, charged unfairly. But... end of the day, I think whatever happens, happens. I said it in the article I wrote for our website that I trust Jim Kavanaugh to do the right thing. I trust Jim Kavanaugh to be in league with the right people. And if this is going to happen, I trust Jim Kavanaugh to make it done at least as best as it can be.
I will totally agree with you.
So, Mitch, anything else?
No, I mean... you know, it's funny, too. The one thing I will say is that, you know, when it comes to watch parties, it's great to be able to see Jim just be an everyman. Yeah. You know, he's not the super rich guy in the room at that moment. And when he's around the Taylors, he's still not the super rich guy in the room.
That's right.
So, you know, it's to see somebody like him that's put his entire life into this region be partnered up with somebody who's also put in their entire life to the region. And at a much greater, I mean, like Stewie loves to bring up that they paid a big chunk of the arch grounds renovations. You know, these people are committed and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So
$6.5 million St. Louis public schools.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's just one year.
That's ridiculous.
So, yeah. And that's why
let's not talk about how much, you know, tax breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
If they hadn't have done that, your taxes would be going up anyway.
Yep.
To pay for the schools.
Yep.
So, you know.
But the problem is people don't let reality get in the way of their.
And they are investing $400 million into the city. So.
Oh, you know what? It's okay. $400 million, they can pay for more sales tax.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody else is, as Bird loves to say, nobody else is lining up to do this.
Right.
You know, the last go around, the Taylors weren't lined up to do this. They didn't want to be involved then. Now they do. That's the way life works. So,
but at the end of the day, you know, what will happen, and even if St. Louis does everything right, There's no guarantee that MLS will do the right thing.
Truth.
But, you know, I'm going to enjoy what we have as long as we have it.
I am just, you know.
Players report in February, by the way.
I was about to say, I'm counting down the days, man. The offseason, thankfully, is a little bit shorter this year because, A, our season was extended by a week.
Yep,
that's nice.
And next season, it's brought forward a couple of weeks.
Yep.
It'll be extended another couple weeks next season?
Yes, correct. Sorry, I just figured out what you were saying there. But also, I mean, we've got to start thinking about preseason.
That's right.
It's right around the corner. Jeremy is dark this week. He's taking some time off, so we don't have any updates from him.
But we do know that there will be some news about players coming out soon. We know we've started to see other teams announcing who they're bringing back, and we expect to hear that, you know, in the next couple of weeks for St. Louis FC.
For the last 3 years, we've had a friendly in Springfield. You got to think. Is another one of those. You know, fingers crossed we can get invited to one of these little mini tournaments.
That'd be fun.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited for the season to get started back up.
But especially, if we are in the East, my whole summer is taken up with away games.
It's going to be a lot of fun road trips.
I cannot wait.
All right.
We have questions from the people?
No real questions. I mean,
it would have been brought to you by Your Electric.
Sorry, yeah.
Call Mark Gardner at 314-814-3897.
There were a couple, but I'm old and I want to go home and go to bed. Yeah. Oh, actually, I got to go home and watch Oak Island. We may have to switch our off-season podcast schedule from Tuesday night because Oak Island's on and I'm going to watch them find the treasure.
They're not going to find the treasure, Brad.
Yeah, they are.
This
is the year.
They are not going to find the treasure.
Sarah and I beg to differ.
That's silliness. That is nothing but absolute silliness.
So we should extend the podcast so Brad can't go home. We should start talking about stuff.
I know.
You bastards.
So
no, the U.S. suck, man, right?
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Somebody did mention the U.S., and I was like, do we really have to talk about that? Because
well, they got beat by England, so yes, we do.
Until they hire a real coach,
it's
none of these games even matter. They're like running laps in gym class now.
It's scrimmages.
So. I watched the first half of the Italy game today, and the first half stats for the U.S. was abysmal.
Yeah.
Zero shots on goal, 10 fouls, 26% possession.
Jesus.
And if Italy's got a player called Kevin Lasagna, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But he should have scored a hat-trick. I mean.
But, I mean, really, what are we doing? You know,
we're not doing anything.
Why are these guys? What is the coach?
Here's the thing, though. Also, the coach thing is an embarrassment,
right,
in and of itself, because it came out. Grant Wall tweeted today that Real Madrid Spain guy inquired to the U.S. You know, can I interview for that? And they said no.
Yeah,
a guy that was Spain and Real Madrid manager.
They don't want a foreigner telling them what to do.
But the other part is, though, you know, we've heard that it's Berhalter's job, but even Berhalter's people are saying, nobody's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to hire him, fucking hire him.
But here's the thing with the Spanish guy, that might have just been him saying, I'm available, everyone.
Right, right.
So you don't know which way to go there. But we keep hearing about this young generation coming through. Well, every time they're coming up against a decent team, they're getting the pants pulled down.
Yeah.
How good are they, really? Honestly,
well,
truthfully,
your young generation is winning under World Cups.
Yeah. How good are these guys?
I don't know.
And the thing is, we're not going to know because there is no system installed.
But yeah,
there's no
coach.
Strategy
Let
installed.
Him start doing what he wants to do with the team because, and like I said, until then, you're basically just running laps out there because...
Well, they basically...
What's Sarakin doing? Yeah. Well, I mean, why have a game if you know this guy isn't going to be the guy?
I don't get it.
And like, it was nice to see Pulisic as the captain today, you know, because you want him to be that leader in the future, but you're leading a bunch of nothings.
But have the coach in and let him start looking at these guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is where you have to start up setting a strategy for 3 years from now.
Yep.
It's almost like the U.S. soccer don't want to hire someone right now because if they hire someone, he's going to be on $3 million a year. Well, we can keep paying Dave 150 grand a year.
Yeah. You almost got to think
it. Because you know the almighty dollar, that's all they
They're just sitting on that giant coffer, too, which is even...
Well, they're just wasting everybody's time now.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And
so there you go. I said we weren't going to talk about U.S. men's national team, but we did.
As always, anytime you say we're not going to talk about something, yeah, it immediately means we're talking about it.
We're not
going to
talk about wrapping this up so I can go home and watch Oak Island.
Go home and watch this fucking show.
Jesus.
It's my off season. I'm just kidding. But no, we really don't have any more news to talk about. We're just waiting for things to happen.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's kind of nice. It's the calm before the storm, in a way, but I want the storm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. They dropped some signings on us without warning last year, so you don't know. Keep checking your phones. You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, Musa was just re-signed by Phoenix, so yep. you figure that the news is starting to come out now, so.
Yeah, like I said, I'm expecting the next couple of weeks we'll hear who's coming back from last year's team, and then you start looking for new pieces to add to it. So,
yeah. So before we wrap it up so Brad can go watch his trash TV,
yeah,
we said we were going to have a trivia question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Today, when we were at the seniority at the event, we were given an extra MLS for the loose scarf.
Yes.
We're going to put that in.
One lucky listener.
One. We're going to put all the people that answer correctly into a hat on Thursday, Thanksgiving. You'll be something to be thankful for.
There you go.
We'll draw the name from a hat. I mentioned how many times they mentioned Drogba's name at halftime.
So this is just at halftime.
Yep. I mentioned it earlier.
So
if you weren't paying attention, rewind. Or actually download it again.
This is an open
start
book.
Over from
this
beginning.
Is an open book test.
It is an
we're
open
not
book
gonna
test.
Check.
That's why we're saying not the first one that puts in.
Yeah.
That's why we're saying everybody that puts in. Social media, you know the way to do it. This is silly on Twitter or Instagram if you want to do it. We'll make Sarah work.
Yeah. Tag us.
I know she just gave me the look over the headphones. But, tag This Is Silly with your answer Thursday.
By tomorrow.
Yeah, on Thursday, sometime after 12 o'clock, we'll draw a name and you'll have something to be thankful for.
Yep.
One MLS for the loose scarf.
There you go.
And none of us have worn it.
No, it's a fresh one, right out of the package.
Didn't let the dog get a hold of it, so you don't have Sammy Slobber on it.
That's right.
Fresh out of the package, they handed it to us. So
that's all I got.
Go to Prague, everyone. It's gorgeous.
Matt, smug holiday bastard.
Matt says go to Prague.
And as Carolyn said today, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We have a lot to be thankful for this year.
Yeah, we really do. We don't have Thanksgiving in England. So this is one of my favorite U.S. holidays because I just like the idea of sitting around and getting fat with your family. It's a great holiday, and I love it.
I'd rather sit around and get fat with your family than mine. But
yeah, and especially thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes,
we appreciate it.
We do. So we will see you in a couple weeks, and we'll talk then about our busy December.
Yep.
See ya.